Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium Miguel. It's Uncle Silk.
Oh, it's 35, All-American.
And Dancing Dan.
Dancing Dan with the dance moves.
Yeah, man, Dan got me in a good mood today. We put 63 points up on people, man.
You got to cut a rug if you get 63, that's a fact.
That's right. That's what I did. I don't know. The timeline was wilding out a little bit this morning.
You cut the concrete. You just cut the rug. You cut the concrete, boy. You was giving it up, Dan.
That's right. Man. I was having a good time. The Gators were up big. Big win. Had a great day celebrating the opening of the Kush House with you. And I was just feeling myself, you know. Pause. But I was feeling the dance moves. I'm excited to be there. And I had a great time. So for all you people that enjoyed my video on the timeline, I appreciate it. And I appreciate you, Ahmad, for letting the world know about my dancing moves.
So yeah, Dan, I think you got like about 400 likes almost. So yeah.
Oh, very good. I didn't see. I saw it was ticking up like 70 or 80, but
I don't think everybody liked that. I think they like laughing at you.
why are you shitting on Dan Parade right now?
Man? Yeah, check this out though. So we at SeaWorld and I didn't know this video existed. So we're at SeaWorld just chilling.
Same.
So me, my wife, Ahmad, and his wife, we're all walking, just talking about the Kush House grand opening that we had where Dan was cutting the rug. I was talking about everything that was going on that night. And then my wife brought up, she's like, I got this video of Dan dancing. In my mind, I'm just like, all right, Dan was dancing all night, whatever. She whips out the phone, showed me the video, man. We was cackling at SeaWorld for a good little minute.
Yeah, we I think we even stopped walking for a second.
We had to
get the plan on, you know what I'm saying?
No, Ahmad started playing. Ahmad was like, send me that video. I'm tweeting the first day in the morning with my mood.
That's my Victory Monday mood, man.
And Ahmad didn't even tell me it was coming. All of a sudden, I'm at work. I walk out of a meeting. I look at my phone. I was like, why is my phone blowing up? And then I see it not only on Twitter. I see it on Instagram. And Ahmad just put me on blast all over. But if you can't laugh at yourself, then you're not doing life right.
So what was the dance move called?
Yeah, we got. I don't know.
I'll like have to think of something.
That looked like the Trump YMCA, man. I don't know.
Oh, come on. You know my thoughts on Trump Black. Come on. Come on.
It's not going political, fellas. That's not
political. We ain't going to take it there, Dan. But, you know,
already did, Ahmad. All right, boys.
I'm talking about the move, man. That's it.
Let's get into the show a bit. A lot of people, if you didn't see the video, go to Ahmad's Instagram, go to Ahmad's Twitter. It's me dancing, have a great old time.
And before we get to the show, man, we had a Kush House grand opening in the studio for the big three roll up. It was a dope time, and we had an amazing time. I hit Dan up in the middle of the day, in the morning, or he hit me up, asked me anything I need as far as drink wise. What are we drinking? I told him champagne, Bel Air. Couldn't find any in Orlando. Dan pulled up with some rosé, Moet, and some rosé Bel Air. Man, the rest is history. We had a ball. I enjoyed you guys coming. Thanks for the love. Big Stadium Miguel love in there. And then we got to see the Gators put 60 up.
It was an incredible time. A bunch of people. How many people do you estimate probably came out? About 80, give or take, maybe more?
Way more than we wanted. We was aiming for like 50, 60. Then 80 showed up. So the guest list didn't really work out. We didn't want to turn certain people away. The count got a little out of hand, but it wasn't too crowded. We used the outside and the inside. Yep. Wasn't anything packed. We kept it clean. As far as walking through the building, we kept the numbers at a certain amount. So it was dope and fun, man. I'm excited to do more things with you guys in that building. We're going to do some more, what we call it, Patreon. We're going to do some Patreon content in there, some exclusive stuff.
Yeah, so we've talked about some national signing day stuff there, early signing day, maybe regular signing day. I think that one's in St. Pete.
The Heisman watch.
The Heisman watch. We're going to get into that a bit. We got a bunch of stuff that we've talked about too. We do facts only there. The recruiting podcast. There's going to be a lot of opportunity for us to use that building. So give a shout out to you, Silk. I know that this was your vision. You and Josh Newberg. Folks at the Big Three Roll Up, which do power this podcast. So we're very, very happy to be affiliate with them and help them out. But it is an awesome space, and I'm excited to see where you all take it in the next coming months and couple of years. It's a really cool place to be. So shout out to you.
Yeah, for sure. We're definitely gonna have some got the barbershop in there. So if y'all, in the area and need your nice little cut up in there, we got you. We got you.
I love it. I love it.
Get you the Danimal cut.
That's right.
Definitely come visit that barbershop. We're in the process of hiring 3 more barbers tomorrow. So we're going to be fully staffed and ready to go, man. Holla at us.
I'm here for it. All right, boys, let's get into the show. As always, this show is sponsored by our friends over at the Thomas Firm. So if you have any questions about insurance claim due to property damage to your home or business, give them a call at 813-221-2525 or visit them at tntattorneys.com. Any issues with roof damage, leaks, storms, water damage, hail damage, hurricanes, sinkholes, and fires, give them a call. Again, 813-221-2525. All right, guys, 63-35 win over the Arkansas Razorbacks in a game that after Arkansas scored on the first drive, really just started to get out of hand after their first drive, and they tied it at 7, really got out of hand pretty quickly with 28 points in the second quarter. Let's talk. What'd you like about the game?
I love the way Dan Mullen's adjusting to the way teams are attacking us. I was just trying to watch like the X's and O's, and Arkansas was going to play bend but don't break with a 3-2-6 defense and dime. And Dan Mullen came out running the ball and doing some things just to get them out of that defense. When they didn't get out of it, he just kept doing what he did and then did some things on the back end, did the quarterback counter. We all complained about Kyle Trask running that dive or those counter plays, but he did that first touchdown to Grimes was a play action counter off of that. He faked with the cow and then threw it out to Grimes, set up and lineman were able to get down the field. So I like the way Dan is adjusting to the way teams are playing us, man. He's just a brilliant play caller, bro. Even some of those plays, we look at him like, why the hell did he call that? They make sense a little bit later.
Yeah, I definitely like what Dan's calling out there. He's keeping us, run pass equally. We've been running the ball, and that's what I like. I know I talked a little bit of crap about Malik Davis early in the season when he turned over the ball, but he's actually coming on with him and with Wright and Pierce. You know, we got like a three-headed monster thing going on back there. Putting guys in. I don't know if they're doing it by series or how they're doing it, but it's actually working. So the offensive line is playing great. We chunking the ball down the field. Everybody's touching the football. We just got to catch it. When the ball's thrown to you, catch it.
Absolutely.
And it will be okay. We also got to block on the outside a little bit better, but, most importantly.
A lot better.
Yeah.
There are some runs. When we get into that trips bunch a lot, and we ran, it was early in the first quarter, and we ran to that side, we could have broke one if Tony holds his block. If those receivers hold their block a little longer, Naquan Wright probably takes one to the crib. Like, we're so close to breaking a real big run. We just need wide receivers to block a little bit better. Not just on the runs, on the screens as well. If they block a little bit better, we're going to break one of those little.
Even if we on running outside, even if we gash them, you know how hard it is for a safety to run downhill and tackle the running back who's breaking in the open field? So mm-hmm. So what's going to happen is if he miss him, he probably going to hit his leg or something and slow him down. But guess what happened if we don't block on the outside? Dude won't come make the tackle.
Right.
So even if we gas them, we still got to block them outside because you never know if it could pop.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Only way they take them to the crib is if the wide receivers are blocking. That's why it's a very important thing in Dan Mullen offense. And I'm not saying we're blocking bad, but we could block better definitely at a position.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like you said, Ahmad, it was a balanced game. Florida had 16 first downs rushing the ball, 23 passing the ball with 18 with Kyle Trask and 5 with Emory Jones. I love the way that they bounced off. I think all of the guys except for Malik Davis averaged more than 5 yards a carry. So that's Emory, Damian Pierce, and Naquan Wright averaged more than 5 yards a carry. I thought that they ran the ball really well. And I think, like you said, I think it was you, Silk, that just said, I mean, we're just a couple plays away from, you know, the big run. And I know that these guys all want it or Jones in for it, but, you know, I give them credit. They're running hard every play. One of the things that I want to give a shout out to is at the beginning of the year, we even talked about it with Kyle Trask is, you know, what was his downfield ability of passing the ball? We weren't sure, you know, last year we didn't see a ton of downfield. We didn't see him, you know, put the ball in the air very much, but I mean, this year, we have seen a complete change in maturation, of Kyle Trask. He was just pulling up the numbers where we were.
Remember that little thing that we put out a couple weeks ago when we had those buys and Dan Mullen came out saying they were going to make more of an effort going down the field.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think we've seen that. I think Dan didn't lie to the people.
Bro, listen to this. For a guy that had a lot of question marks about his ability to throw down the field against Arkansas, 15 of 18, 301 yards, 5 touchdowns, and 0 interceptions. You know what that equals? A perfect QB rating, 158.3. So Kyle Trask is meticulously putting the ball where he needs to. He's putting the ball in only a great spot. The receivers are running well. Kyle Trask is playing well. The offensive line played really well. This offense can score against any team in college football, and I'm willing to bet that this team can put up 35 points plus on any college football defense.
Just watching him throw the ball around Saturday, it's clear. Anybody's talking about Orange Trump at this point is just talking crazy. It was clear that he just wasn't comfortable throwing deep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think it was a lack of arm strength. I think he's ready now. His second year as a starter, I think he's just real comfortable going down the field. But I think Dan challenged him on that 2-week bye that we had when he put that out to the press. And I think I came with the shits and ready to answer the bell, and he did, man.
Also, one of the reasons why we probably throwing the ball deep down the field is because our offensive line is holding up a little bit better. Mm-hmm. You guys ever thought about that? Because shit, I'm not trying to sit back there and you got to take a 5-step drop sometimes or more steps in your drop. Mm-hmm. If you're not comfortable back there, you're not going to be comfortable throwing the ball down the field.
I didn't think pass pro was bad last year, though. I just thought he wasn't comfortable going down the field. He took kind of what the defense gave him last year.
Pass pro wasn't like how it is now.
The overall improved. I don't think the offensive line affected his down the field throwing. It was what I would say, because I thought – he was pretty clean last year. Run game, they couldn't block that well, but I thought they kept him pretty clean last year.
I spoke on it the other day when we got SeaWorld. Just his comfortability as far as acknowledging the blitz, where it's coming from, looking at the defense. Before the play starts, hey, calling out where the mic at, where the blitz coming from, where you going to shift your line. One of the plays that struck me, and it probably would never be seen again because we didn't score on it, is when they ran a cat blitz. Cat blitz is they call it for corner blitz, the seat, right? Mm-hmm. So we had a corner blitz, and he called it out, and we knew it, and we adjusted to it. You want to know why? Because it's so hard for the safety to run down and guard that number one receiver when the corner blitz, right? Because there's so much separation, right? So what we did was double move that safety, right? So when that safety see that comeback, he going to automatically beeline to it. Well, guess what? We ran back up the field. I think that he overthrown Henderson up the sideline, it was going to be touchdown.
Yeah. Speaking of Henderson, I thought they
– A similar thing happened on that flea flicker, Ahmad, real quick. I'm sorry, Dan. A similar thing happened on that flea flicker as well to Baby Hendo. You can't see it in the screen, but the DB reacted to – because they playing time. They're so far back. They're playing bend but not break. So when he handed that ball to Naquan, it wasn't even a double move. He just had to react to the run game. Right. And then when the pitch back, he's out of place. So if it wasn't for the drop and all of that and that flea flick, that would have been 6 easy, like walk into the end zone.
We got to settle it a little bit more too. I think Hendo, he's doing a great job with it, but if he could settle it a little bit more, because what's happening, bro, is that corner is also kind of keeping his eyes in the backfield too. So if he got to try to keep his eyes in the backfield and worry about you kind of blocking him a little bit, so you got to set a block a little bit more and then take off on him. Because once you set that block, he's gonna settle down too. But if I see the ball being ran. And you running a slant route or double running fast off the ball.
If he's playing in a dime, because they played a lot of cover three last night, a lot of cover three, a lot of cover four Saturday night off the ball. So he in the zone, he's kind of standing in the backfield. I would come out of just a slow stride. And if he react, like you said, sell it like you kind of trying to sell
kind of
it,
block it. Yeah, kind of like right. A days ago a little bit and take off on him. And we got receivers that are going to run by you.
Shout out to Baby Hendo. He got his first touchdown. It was good to see him. It was good to see all the weapons. Zipper got busy. Justin Shorter, that throw from Trask to Justin Shorter was a thing of beauty, bro. Very few passes you're going to see in college football that's better than that one. That was elite stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
I was running around the cushion. I was doing a lot of crazy things when he made that throw.
I mean, shout out to Trevon Grimes. He had a good game. He had two touchdowns himself. He had one play where he was completely wide open. I mean, you could have drove a Mack truck into the end zone there.
Scheming Daniel.
Speaking of Scheming Daniel, feel free to buy a Scheming Daniel t-shirt at stadiumandgale.com. No, but what's incredible is you look, I mean, how efficient Florida's offense was without effectively their best weapon and Kyle Pitts being out for this game and the game against Vanderbilt. You know, but the team just collectively just plays so well together. And Ahmad, going back to what you said, and I don't want to interrupt you guys talking about defensive scheming there, but offensive line play, Stone Forsythe played really well. Richard Garage played really well, and I thought Brett Hagee had a really good game as well. But in their ability to pass block, the three of them just played unbelievably against Arkansas. You know, there's still some question marks, you know, every once in a while in run blocking and everything else, but you can't expect them to be perfect. But, guys, I think they're playing a lot better than we even thought they would play this year, huh?
Right, right, definitely. Also, shout out to Lakeland, Polk County, Zipperoo with two touchdowns. Pitts was out the game. Him and Gamble stepped in and took on that role, man. So shout out to the Zip, two touchdowns.
He's not going to get any credit because he is not going to show up on the stat sheet at all. But I thought Kamori Gamble blocked his butt off last game.
Man, he gives such great effort all the time.
When I was rewatching the game, because you know there was a couple pieces here and there that I didn't remember from the Kush House, that I was watching the game and you could watch him and he just he's really starting to develop into a complete tight end. We saw him last game where he was wide open on a couple plays, had a couple good catches, had the long touchdown run against Georgia, but came into this game and really, I mean, just got his, you know, hands dirty and did what he had to do. And that's what I seem to love about this team, is that there's a lot of unselfish play by a lot of these guys, and they're taking the role that that's given to them for that game. Man, they're doing really well.
Dan, what do you think about on the rewatch? I didn't see it that night, but on the rewatch, what did you think about Emery coming in and just throw that random bubble screen?
I didn't like it. I still to this day don't understand the way that Emery Jones is being used. I didn't like the bubble screen. I thought that the play was a mess from the beginning, and I don't know if that was a coverage thing that he missed. I'd have to rewatch it.
I talked about it with Silk the other day. Is number one, I don't know why we did that, but also Kadarius got to stop drifting on his bubble screens because he's drifting right out, so he's going towards the sideline.
Okay,
stop drifting out because you're running right into the guy getting blocked. Well, supposed to be getting blocked out there because he didn't get blocked at all.
And I would imagine it's like a demoralizing feeling for him. He goes out, throws a pass at what goes for -1 yard, and then he gets pulled. You know, I know he's able to come back in and redeem himself a bit, and he got a rushing touchdown and everything else. But still, I don't love the play call, and I also don't know why. Right? I don't know why that's a play that he has to run. Right? I'm not against him.
I think Dan Mullen was probably – he's seen some of him. I think everything he does is just not just random. I think he has – a plan. So I think he thought Emery coming in, a defense would try to key on him and they could probably slip something out to Tony and bust it because they was trying to shade Tony the whole game. So I guess he was trying to probably add some distraction, but it just didn't work on try to get Tony some touches.
Right. And I mean, and everything's not going to work every time, right? I mean, right. You could be the best quarterback. I mean, you could be Peyton Manning. You could have been Danny Werfel 96. Like, not everything's going to work every single time, you know, but just looking at his passing chart for the year, Emory Jones, I mean, they don't love putting him in a position to be super successful. And I don't know if that's a him thing or not, but still, I didn't understand that play call. I'd have to watch it again to give a better analysis. But like you said, he drifted right into that guy. I mean, he couldn't move no matter who he was.
But also, we got to go back to what we were talking about. We got to block better on the outside. So, you know, I'll go hand in hand again. So, we make the block on the outside. Maybe he drifts and catches it and still can make a move, but you know, who knows?
Let's see.
We didn't say anything about the defense.
Yeah, no. Let's talk a little bit about the bad then. Well, I mean, is there any good that you guys want to talk about on the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Side of man, Zach Carter. He hit pay dirt. Yep. Got him a scoop and score. I think the defense pass rush. We're leading the SEC with sacks right now, if I'm not mistaken.
I'll double check, but you can keep talking. I'll give you an update.
Double check that, Spence or Cam. One of y'all check on that. But I think we're pretty up there in stats. I mean, with sacks in the SEC. So I think the defense played solid. I think football's changing, bro. You're not gonna stop offenses and just shed. Like, elite defenses are dying. Yeah. I think you should need stops. We gave up too many explosive plays that I did not like, but in both the run game and the pass game, we need to tighten that up and make teams earn it with a drive. But yeah, you just need stops, man. You're not gonna just shut down.
So I don't mean to cut you off, but that's what you just hit it on the head. We got to minimize the big plays,
right?
So minimizing the big plays can help with your stops, right? Big plays is i.e. 20 yards down the field or plus 20 yards. We can't have guys throwing 20 yards pass up down the field. Right. Like, what is that? Like Silk say, let them earn it. Because I don't think too many teams going to just grind us down the field. I mean,
right?
Unless we don't get better linebacker play, they will. But we get better linebacker play and play like how we know we can, and they can't grind the ball down the field.
Yeah. I want to shout out a couple of things in the defense. One, like you said, Zach Carter, SEC Defensive Player of the Week. Also got to give a shout out to Kyle Trask, who was the SEC co-offensive player of the week himself. He was also Pro Football Focus's, I think, either offensive player of the week or quarterback of the week as well. But Ahmad, you hit on something that I think is really, really important. It's not just about, just that one big play. It's the ability to get them off the field. So obviously we bemoaned Todd Grantham and third down defense against Texas A&M where they went 12-5. Since then, teams have completed 8 third downs on 37. So they're 8 of 37 in their last 3 games. And I mean, you can say that Missouri, Georgia, and Arkansas maybe don't have the most elite offenses in college football, but I mean, the ability to go from 12 of 15 in one game, 9 of 14 in the first game of the season, they're getting them off the field. And I think that that's a huge drastic improvement. Now we can talk a little bit about, what happened on those two, long Felipe passes, where he connected for 129 yards and 2 touchdowns on that. But like you said, really, focus on getting the ball and causing some turnovers. And Silk, I looked it up. Florida is leading the SEC in sacks and tied for Georgia for first in number of sack yards.
Silky facts.
Silky facts. I love it. but if you look at the beginning of the season, Florida only had 3 turnovers in their first 3 game, and since then they've gotten 6. So they're turning the ball over, they're forcing the other team off the field, and like we talked about, Florida's going to score points. It's just a matter of how many.
Absolutely. From the defense, Marco made some good stops in the secondary. He made a good tackle on the tight end to get us off the field on third down.
And we needed that. That was a crucial time in the game, too.
Absolutely, man. So I'm going to give him his flowers. He made a play.
Sure.
Trying to think, man. My man Ventrell Miller made a big play on the third down as well. Actually, it was a fourth down. I think they were going for it on fourth at midfield.
He took the ball on the slant.
Right. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a big play. The pass rush was there all night. We just got to limit the big runs. I thought the defense played solid. We got
on that big run though. What happened? I know a lot of people were saying the safety play and whatnot. The safety came downhill. He saw the run. What has to happen is the linebacker has to squeeze that ball back to him. What happened was Diabate was getting blocked, right, and the ball squirted out to the right. Safety was coming down left. Diabate has to be on the outside of that ball to squeeze it back to Sean Davis. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But he didn't. So now we got people on the left side of the ball because he was getting blocked.
I think Diabate needed to get in the weight room.
That's what was happening. When we talked about the tight end, that what they were doing is they was inserting the tight end and running right behind him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he looks really lean for a linebacker or a pass rusher. And I would like to see Diabate bulk up a little bit more. Shout out to Amari Burney, man. He hasn't been a casualty or a liability. He also got him a sack on Sunday, man. On Saturday. So he's playing better football, so shout out to Mark Burney as well.
I think, he's not playing as much, but I think he's making some bigger impacts. I want to shout out Rashard Torrance. I thought that he did great in rush defense in that game at 4 tackles, 2 assisted tackles. I mean, he's going to be a good ball hawk, and I know that that's the wrong way to use the phrase ball hawking because we're talking about rush defense, but I think he's going to be a guy that's always around the play, always making big plays. So shout out to him. I think Kyrie Campbell – Again, not a guy that's going to show up on the stat sheet a lot, but there's just a huge difference when he's in there compared to when he's not. I mean, that team just gels better. Zachary Carter's able to get off a little bit more. The rest of the team just plays better when he's out there.
Absolutely. That's the facts of life right there, Dan.
That's what I'm here for. Any other thing on defense or anything on offense that you want to see improved?
I mean,
no, nah, man. The rest of our schedule should be a breeze. I think we're gonna look good and like a better defense just because the way our schedule is playing out. But yeah, it's a lot we could work on. But I think our next real test is in Atlanta,
and we'll be there. Look for us. Absolutely. In Buckhead. More details
look,
soon.
Look for me in Buckhead.
Mm. Woo!
Not Bankhead, but Buckhead.
We go to the Trap Museum on Saturday morning.
No, nah, not you.
All right, very good. the next section of our show is brought to you by our friends over at Roof Soldier. And I've only got one this week. It's a dandy fact, but brought to you by our friends over at Roof Soldier. We love the folks over there. If you were affected by that Hurricane Ada that came through and just did a really weird drunken path, it was probably came from the Kush House. Up and down, and you suffered some damage, give them a call. We're getting out of hurricane season here in the next couple of weeks, what seemingly never is going to end. But have them take a look at your roof. It's better to do it now than it is when your roof gets blown off or you have a leak during the spring and summer. So give them a call, 1-877-ROOFS-FL, or visit them at roofsoldier.com. They're giving you a discount. They're going to probably give you more than the $200 discount. We were just talking about that before the show started. But give them a call. I think they're going to give you a lot of money off a new roof or replacement for your roof or any repair. They do work all over the state of Florida. They're really good people. If you're a veteran, they give you an even bigger discount. So give them a call. They are a veteran-owned company. So again, 1-877-ROOFS-FL. And roofsoldier.com. So dandy facts, normally I have a bunch, but you know, all they are is going to be gaudy numbers. And so I figure Florida is going to probably put up some more gaudy numbers against Vanderbilt. So I'll have some more. But I know for a fact, Florida right now has more passing yards than they did in the 2017, 2014, 2012, and 2011 season, which is wild. But the big dandy fact of this week, and I think it was Urban Meyer that talked about it, Ahmad. You might have to correct me. But he talked about the most important 10 minutes of the game or the last 5 minutes of the second quarter and the first 5 minutes of the third quarter. I didn't pull the numbers on the third quarter because they weren't as gaudy. Florida is outscoring opponents 69-3 in the last 5 minutes of the second quarter, which is absolutely incredible. You know, Florida put up 28 points in the second quarter. But, I mean, if you want to talk about stats
first,
that
– what is the setup? Against,
I mean, it's absolutely wild.
I think first quarter he's filling them out. He's setting things up. I don't think none of that's an accident, man. I think second quarter is his quarter. Of course, that first drive is always important to every team, scheming that first drive and getting that drive down the field. But I think outscoring in the second quarter is no coincidence. I think he set up a lot of things. And he spent a lot of chess.
It's
you got to understand too. A lot of people, you know, run the ball a little bit too, man. Trying to just see what they can see and whatnot. That's gonna run the clock out. And that first drive, both teams get the ball one time, one or two times in the first quarter. Anyway, I mean, you know what I'm saying. So you know, by the time we get on the second quarter, we done seen what they're gonna get in. We done ran through our scripted plays already. Now it's time to play ball.
And we would be remiss if we didn't mention that Trent Whittemore. Announced today that he has suffered a few either bruised ribs or cracked ribs and I believe a collapsed lung. So prayers up to him and hope that he gets better. You know, we knew that there was something going on. The players were tweeting a little bit about it, but shout out to him and hopefully you get better, my boy.
Absolutely, man. Sorry to hear that.
So outside of that, I think we covered the national awards. We covered the big win. You know, Florida's 5-1 going into a game against 0-6 Vanderbilt. We're going to get Andy Staples on the show. He's a Heisman voter. He covers college football for The Athletic, former walk-on for the University of Florida. I believe it's his second time on the show. So we're excited to bring Andy Staples back on and his segment is brought to you by our friends over at Lee Friedland and the law firm of Friedland and Associates, who truly cares about the people. He's going to handle your auto accidents, medical malpractice, nursing home cases, criminal matters, and personal injury cases in every jurisdiction within the state of Florida. Give him a call. It's 1-800-95-INJURED or visit his website at yourfightourbattle.com. Graduated from UF undergrad and law school, would love to help you in any issues regarding accidents, medical malpractice, nursing home cases, and the like. 1-800-95-INJURED and yourfightourbattle.com. Let's get Andy Staples from The Athletic on.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
And joining us for the second time on Stadium and Gale from The Athletic is our friend Andy Staples. Second time on the show. Andy, how are you?
Good. We're keeping track. That's good. I got to start doing that on my show.
You should.
Do you have like a tote board or is it on the wall? Like,
I think it's an Excel spreadsheet I have. I haven't kept up with it recently, to be honest with you. But if I'm going off memory here,
I struggle remembering how many years I'm married, so I don't know how Dan figures all this stuff.
The only reason I remember is because it was his like first official thing, maybe not his first, but like
his
first day with The Athletic. So man, we're excited to have you back. Andy, wanted to talk to you. I mean, we love having you on the show. Specifically, want to talk to you about Kyle Trask and about his Heisman campaign for the season. So as a voter, as an outside perspective, as somebody that's connected to the program, what are your thoughts on Kyle Trask and what do you think is his chances of taking on the Heisman Trophy this year?
Well, I think he's the front runner now. And obviously things can change. It's weird because we've kind of seen it where the front runner has sort of established himself in early November the past few years. But the thing is, this is not a normal year. Like, it is mid-November now, but what is it really in terms of the season? Because it's going 2 weeks, 3 weeks longer than it usually does. So I don't know, you know, if he's kind of peaking at the right time. I don't know that it matters, because I think you look at the way he's played against Georgia and then played against Arkansas. So against Georgia, he looks amazing. That's a good defense. I realize they were banged up, but that was a great performance. Pitts gets hurt. The offense looks different without Pitts, but they're also just trying to win the game. You know, you can tell they're trying to get out of there and win the game. They come back against Arkansas, no Pitts, and it didn't seem to affect him at all. And Arkansas is a good defense. I mean, so Ole Miss has a great offense, great passing game. Arkansas intercepted them 6 times. And Trask was lights out against that defense. So it's amazing because he looks even more comfortable in the offense than he did at the beginning of the season.
Right.
It feels like it really feels like once they added more throws to the backs into the offense, he became more confident. I think because he knows that wheel route's there so much of the time, or that little flat pass is there so much of the time, that if you can't go downfield, that's okay. You're going to gain some yards. And it's amazing what a guy who knows what he's doing in the offense and makes crisp, confident decisions with the ball can do. And that's something that Florida has not had in a long time at that position.
Right. And we put this on Twitter, and I want to get back to Heisman talk and everything else here in a second. But obviously, you played with the team, you've been around, you've grown up, you know, around them. Kyle Trask, as a passer and a passer only, where do you put him on the hierarchy of Florida Gator quarterbacks?
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm trying to think of where it feels a little like Rex, you know, in terms of just pure arm talent. You know, Danny was a different animal entirely. He just had such great touch on the ball and kind of like a telepathic connection with the receivers. But Danny wasn't going to wow you with his arm strength. Tebow had a strong arm, but as we learned during the pre-draft process, there was quite a windup to get to that point. So Trask is up there in terms of arm strength, quickness of release, but the decision-making quickness, crispness that I was talking about before, that's very similar to Rex. Now, Rex was probably a little more reckless is probably not the right word, but Rex could freelance a little bit and it was going to be okay. Kyle does what he does very much within the confines of the offense. And yeah. I think that's the thing that's interesting to me is
they're looking a lot more like what these Alabama offenses have looked like the last few years, where, you know, Tua worked within the confines of the offense. He'd do some crazy stuff every once in a while if he got flushed from the pocket. But for the most part, he's working within the structure of the offense. Mac Jones is working within the structure of the offense. And I think if there was a trip to New York that was going to happen, if they weren't doing it virtually, you know, Kyle Trask and Mac Jones would be sitting next to each other on the dais.
Yeah. So I want to ask you, so, you know, you look at the sports betting websites and everything else, and Kyle Trask is right now number one on a few of them. What do you think he needs to do between now and the end of the year? Or do you think it really matters about whoever wins that SEC championship game is going to probably win the Heisman Trophy right now?
I just say keep going. Keep doing what he's doing. If he keeps doing what he's doing, he may win it anyway, even if they don't win the SEC title game. I mean, here's the deal. You got to be on a good team to win the Heisman. This is not 1956 or whatever your Paul Hornung won it. You're not winning on a losing team. But if you're on a pretty good team, if your team is competing for a playoff berth late in the season, or they're competing for the conference championship, you have a chance to win the Heisman Trophy as long as you play quarterback or running back. And so I think that's
– hey, boy.
He's met the minimum requirements. He's above the cut line. And if he keeps putting up numbers like this, I mean, these are crazy numbers. Hey, these are numbers like Joe Burrow was putting up last year. The difference is Joe Burrow had a regular schedule. Now, he did play Texas early, but they also had non-conference games, the three other non-conference games are a little bit easier where you can pad your stats. Kyle Trask has not had that. He hadn't even played Vandy yet. He gets to do that on Saturday. So, I mean, this has all been done against SEC competition. Now, look, the Ole Miss defense, let's be honest, not the greatest defense in the world. But he also did it against Georgia. He's done it against South Carolina, which at the time was playing good defense. They sort of fell off a cliff afterward. But, you know, he's doing it against halfway decent defenses and just putting up absurd numbers. So I think he's absolutely in the hunt. And the thing is, I hate to say it because this – I don't want to cheapen it, because I think if everybody else were still playing normally, he'd still be sitting there as the front runner right now. But, you know, Trevor Lawrence having to miss a couple games, Justin Fields not really getting to play a full season, you know, it's going to hurt those guys. Because, like, I think Justin Fields – is a fantastic quarterback. He's going to put up great numbers in every game he plays. And the games we've seen him play, he's been amazing. You know, he's really kind of grown in that offense in the offseason, you can tell. And I think part of Justin Fields' story of this season is the Big Ten may not be playing if not for what Justin Fields did in terms of rallying everybody to play. I think that's part of his story for this season. I think that it is part of his value for this season. But if he's only going to play seven games – and at this point, that, you know, he'd play eight with the Big Ten championship. I mean, I don't know. Trask's body of work is going to look a lot better.
I tried to tell you like 2 weeks ago, Andy, it was going down, man. Kyle for Heisman. They're trying to. The media's not hyping it like it should be. This is a Gator quarterback putting up crazy.
You don't have to hype it though.
No, but they should.
It speaks for itself.
No, they don't have to, because, I mean, the numbers are going to do what they do. I don't care if they hype it or not, but I think it's very obvious that the media wanted Trevor or Fields.
I'm the media. I don't really care who wins.
I'm talking to you too, Andy.
It doesn't matter who wins. So and the thing is,
I just need your vote. I'm trying to sell it. I'm trying to sell it to you, Andy.
And you don't need to sell it to me. I'm on board.
Oh, we got Andy. All right.
Well, the thing is, put that out on the Twitter account, Spencer.
It's almost never who you think going into the season. You know, Baker Mayfield was a definite Heisman candidate going into the season when he won it, but nobody was thinking about Kyler Murray as the Heisman winner when he won it. You know, Lamar Jackson the year he won it, nobody was thinking about him. Right. I mean, really, Baker and Marcus Mariota are kind of the last two that went into the season where you thought, all right, these are definite front runners to win the Heisman. So it's usually somebody who you didn't think of. Although remember, let's remember Kyle Trask was the leading returning passer in the SEC this year. So it wasn't like he was anonymous.
No, but he
didn't play him to the left.
I think his odds were plus 10,000 going into the year to win the Heisman Trophy. So, I mean, didn't come out of nowhere for people that follow Florida sports, but, you know, certainly was never probably in the realm of possibility for Heisman Trophy.
He's also got that story that people love. Like, you know, if you're looking from a pure story perspective, who is more likely to get your vote? The five-star who people were telling you was going to be the number one pick in the 2021 draft since he was a junior in high school, which would be Trevor, or the guy who didn't even start for his high school. I mean, that's the most amazing thing.
Hey, Andy, we know he didn't start for high school. You want to know why? Because ESPN only tell us every single goddamn game.
Every single time. Well, I was kind of hoping him and D'Eriq would wind up there together. You know, and D'Eriq's having a good year. He's not going to wind up in a Heisman finalist.
Real quick, I think the rest of our schedule kind of lays up. I think we're pretty much predicted to win the rest of these games. We got to play the games, but
you're gonna make Tennessee go into an existential crisis in that game. Florida is going to make Tennessee fans question everything in that game if Tennessee doesn't get a lot better in the next 3 weeks.
Well, no, everybody's getting embarrassed. I'm on the verge of calling a two-score prediction in Atlanta, man. How you feeling? I'm feeling good.
I like that matchup. In a styles make fights kind of deal, Florida and Alabama is the best matchup you can get because both of them have very good offenses. I think Florida's defense has gotten better since it's gotten healthy and, you know, non-guys out for COVID. You know, basically, you get Kyrie Campbell back, you get a lot of those guys back in the secondary. The full Florida defense playing together is a pretty decent defense. Now, it'll give up points on Alabama, but I think Florida can score on Alabama. I like that matchup, and it's going to be one of those where everybody's going to be saying, oh, SEC people said only the Big 12 plays these games, and the Big 12 can't play defense, but y'all can't play defense either. Okay. Well, as a viewer, I'm okay with that. I will answer Nick Saban's question from 2012. Yes, Nick Saban, that is what I want football to be because I enjoy watching it that way.
I'll never forget that game of the century that was hyped up, that LSU-Alabama game that ended up 9-6. That was one of the most boring games I've ever watched in my life.
So I was on video that week predicting that LSU would win that game 0-3. And I feel like I was right.
I feel like you were the closest you could possibly be.
Literally.
Got a question. I know you kind of touched on it a little bit. Do you think because of everything that happened with COVID and no spring, no real summer, kind of weird hodgepodge, roster, schedules, everything else, do you think the SEC is going to revert back to some stronger defenses, or do you think that there's a pivot happening in the SEC, you know, with your Lane Kiffins, your Mike Leach, whatever, but your Dan Mullins and some of these other more offensive-minded coaches that are maybe a little bit more focused on that side of the ball?
I don't think it's a permanent pivot. I mean, this happened in 2012, too, when Hugh Freeze and Kevin Sumlin came into the league the same year. So it's not that they're going to suddenly not be able to defend anymore. I think it's a little bit cyclical. I mean, this is the year, think about it, you know, Derek Brown's out of the league. Think of all the talent in the secondary from all the different SEC teams that left. Think of the talent on LSU's defense that left. So these things go in waves. There will be a year, probably like a year or two from now, probably 2 years from now, where there'll be like six great edge rushers and four stud D tackles. And we're like, why can't anybody play offense anymore? And no experienced quarterbacks. So that's the thing. It just sort of goes in waves. I mean, if there were a Derek Brown in the league right now, that team would be able to play really good defense. There's no Derek Brown, Quinnen Williams, Deron Payne kind of guy right now.
What do you think about Emory Jones and his development?
You know, I'm interested to see what he looks like when he gets some time. And, you know, if they're going to really torch some of these teams like this game coming up, it's time to give him some good stand out. Here's the problem. You're trying to win Kyle Trask the Heisman, so you got to walk a fine line here. But I want to see Emory Jones running the full offense because very rarely do you have a situation where you have what I would call the traditional quarterback progression. I'd say like the Bowden years at Florida State, you know, in the early 90s, like Charlie Ward would never sit for 3 years now. But that's how Florida State did it. You came in, you redshirted, you sat 2 years, and then you played as a redshirt junior. You started as a redshirt junior. Well, Kyle Trask got the starting job as a redshirt junior, not in the way anybody predicted. Emory Jones set to get the starting job as a redshirt junior. I think it's an advantage if you can have that. I mean, it's so hard to do that because guys are ready to transfer at the drop of a hat now. And look, you know, if Anthony Richardson winds up being better than Emory Jones, then you start Anthony Richardson. It's a competitive sport. But the fact that he's been able to play some and play a role and not leave and be groomed to be the starting quarterback behind a guy like Kyle Trask, who is very good at the job and seems to be a very good teammate and willing to kind of help him along. I mean, I think that's really good for Florida in right. the next few years, because how many – think about it, in the SEC, how many programs have that? Alabama had it with Mac Jones, which was a case of Mac Jones believing that he could be the starter in Alabama even when nobody else did. But you just don't see that all that often anymore.
Yeah, I agree.
Andy, I want to break down, I know we touched a little bit on it, but let's look ahead a little bit. Florida plays Vanderbilt, Kentucky, Tennessee, and then kind of a decimated LSU team. They get to Atlanta. What does Florida have to do to beat Alabama?
Get some stops, force some mistakes. Yeah. I mean, that's all it is. And, you know, that's a game that could turn on a muff punt or a ball, you know, a receiver has passed off his hands and it gets intercepted. I really think the teams are closer together than people realize. Alabama's really good. The thing Alabama probably does a little bit better than Florida is Alabama, if it needs to, can ram the ball straight down your throat mm-hmm. in the run game. And Florida doesn't really have that, but both of them are so good at spreading you out and hitting so many different receivers and hitting guys out of the backfield that I don't know that there's that matters that much. It's just if Alabama could take a lead, they seem a little more capable of eating clock mm-hmm. than Florida would. But I still feel like that could be a game where last team with the ball wins.
Yeah.
It could be very similar to Florida and A&M.
Okay. Interesting. So, Kamad, I don't know if you have any questions about Florida. I want to move on and talk quickly about former Florida Gator coach Will Muschamp, who got let go on Sunday. Who do you think potentially replaces him at South Carolina?
Well, Billy Napier is the one that you're going to hear a lot at Louisiana Lafayette, and he's done a fantastic job there. You look at the way he's kind of built that program, and it does seem like he'd be a good fit there. He's recruited in the SEC before. You know, he's a receivers coach at Alabama. He was at Clemson before that, which is, I mean, it's not an SEC school, but you have to recruit like an SEC school. So he's got those chops. I don't think it's going to be Hugh Freeze. Mm-hmm. There's still the deal where if Hugh Freeze wants to work in the SEC, you got to get the kind of blessing of Greg Sankey. I'm not sure enough water has flowed under the bridge quite yet. I think Hugh Freeze could get a job in the ACC or the Big 12 pretty easily. Mm-hmm. I just don't know that any of those jobs are going to open. So mm-hmm. There's going to be a big push for Shane Beamer, who's the special teams coach, tight ends coach at Oklahoma. And he's Frank Beamer's son. He was the recruiting coordinator at South Carolina for Steve Spurrier and helped get a lot of those really good players who were there for the, you know, 3-11 win seasons, beating Clemson five times in a row. And then, you know, since then, he's gone on to work. You know, he worked for his dad at Virginia Tech. He worked for Kirby at Georgia. He's worked with Lincoln Riley. So he's got a good pedigree and has been there. So I think you're going to see a lot of push for him from some corners. And then, you know, I think, and nobody goes with this, and then I think this may be a case of this person wouldn't want the job, but I think you throw the bank at Tony Elliott at Clemson. This is a guy who grew up in South Carolina, who was a Clemson walk-on, who has been there for most of their rise, who called the plays for two national title teams, and he's going to be a good head coach someday. And he's been very selective. He's had opportunities to leave, but he hasn't taken them. He could do that job very, very well, but I'm not sure if that's the job he wants.
Yeah. So Will Muschamp, that leads us to him, 49 years old, has collected – gosh, I don't even know what $30 million in buyouts. What happens next for him?
He's a seven-figure defensive coordinator because there's no offset language in his buyout. Again, Jimmy Sexton.
He knows what he's doing.
He is good at his job because just like at Florida, there was no offset language. So the next job, the salary does not come out of the buyout. In most cases, if you take a job for $1 million a year, then the school that fired you can pay $1 million less a year in the payouts. Nope. They owe him what they owe him. And then somebody's going to pay him 1.5 to be their defensive coordinator. It could be LSU, Tennessee. I mean, he's worked with everybody at this point in the SEC. I did a thing when I was still at SI where I tried to figure out who the most SEC person in the world was, and I did it based on how many different schools you'd played at, coached at, all that. And Will Muschamp was the winner by a lot. So he's worked with every single one of these people.
You're talking about LSU maybe hiring. What do you feel about Grantham's defense this year?
I think it's gotten better once it's gotten whole. I think when they were shorthanded, they were not very good. I mean, look, we've seen Ole Miss do much worse to some really good teams. I mean, look at what Ole Miss did to Alabama. So that one I'm not going to be that critical about, but I do think they give up some points. I think some past Florida defenses, when you put them with this offense, it would have been a better whole team. But this is what they got. And the thing is, if you look at the Georgia game, which was really the first game that they had everybody, they're better. They're not perfect, but they're better. Right. So we'll see. I think they gotta get after the quarterback a little more. I feel like that they've not really been that great at getting into the backfield. And
they lead the SEC in sacks, Andy. Yeah, I know. I got to throw out the stats. That's all.
I know.
I think they got a little better in the last few weeks with rushing the passer, and it'll get better because of competition.
But that's the thing. They've got a more complete secondary. They've been playing more guys on the D-line. Right. Somebody sent me a spreadsheet early in the year that showed how many snaps all the Georgia guys had played versus the Florida guys. And at the time, because this was when – Campbell hadn't played yet. There had been some guys out for COVID, and it was just there were the part with the Georgia guys was like this long, and the part with the Florida linemen like on the D line was like this long. I was like, and at first I was like, well, wait, did they not adjust because Florida's a 3-man front? So let's move the kind of buff linebacker onto the line and see how that. Nope, still a bunch more Georgia guys. It's just they were deeper, and now you've seen Florida play a few more guys, and I really think it's a much better defense. And, you know, if they get to the point where they're disrupting, they're forcing turnovers, they can beat anybody. I mean, and I don't mean anybody on the schedule. I mean anybody, whether it's Alabama, you know, if they make the playoff, Ohio State, because that offense is so good, you're going to score points on everybody. I mean, it's interesting because you look at all the front runners to make the playoff. Ohio State's not perfect on defense. They were better on defense last year. Clemson was way better on defense 2 years ago. It was probably better defensively last year. Notre Dame, they give up points. You know, I think Notre Dame actually might be the best overall on both lines of scrimmage that we've seen so far this season. But all of them are vulnerable. I mean, you saw Alabama give up 49 points to Ole Miss. Like, everybody's vulnerable this year. And so the team that makes the playoff, the team that wins in the playoff, is going to have to be a team that can win in a shootout. And I think Florida's built for that.
Right.
Andy, let's pontificate a little bit. Let's look forward. Who are your four teams today in the playoff?
So the winner of the SEC championship game, Clemson.
You got to pick a school, Andy.
Okay, I'm going to take Alabama today.
Okay.
A few more weeks, I might say Florida, but I'm going to take Alabama right now. So whoever wins the SEC championship game, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Ohio State.
So let me – I wanted to ask you about Clemson and Notre Dame because I've seen a couple people put them in the playoff. Do you think if they lose to Clemson in the ACC championship, they still make it?
I think it depends on the rest of the situation.
Okay.
You know, and the A&M thing's weird because I keep going back and forth on what – like, what's better for A&M if they go 9-1? Mm-hmm. Is it better if Florida wins the SEC championship and you've beaten Florida? Or does that mean that Alabama then possibly gets your spot because Alabama whooped them?
Yeah.
So I still think Alabama winning the SEC championship is better for A&M because the committee might say, oh, Florida just lost to Alabama. They have two losses now. Mm-hmm. A&M beat them, you know, and it makes it easier to do that. But I do think if Alabama wins the SEC championship and A&M is sitting there at 9-1 and they've been playing like they have the last few weeks, it is going to be a very serious conversation about putting them in because they've been dominant since that Florida game, which was obviously very close. They've just crushed people, which that's something A&M teams, I mean, I don't remember a time I've ever seen A&M beating teams they were supposed to beat like that. They've never been that consistent.
Right, right. And I think Jimbo's doing a great job out there. Well, Andy, thanks again so much for what you're doing and covering college football on The Athletic. Tell everybody where they can follow you and read all your stuff.
So you can find me on Twitter at Andy_Staples. Obviously, subscribe to The Athletic. We got a deal going right now where it's a buck a week for your first 6 months. And if you want to listen to the podcast, it's The Andy Staples Show, wherever you get podcasts, Spotify, Apple, Google, you name it. Awesome. And I got to go look at SEC sack totals now because
so I don't think anything
can get after the quarterback this year. They're really – I got to look that up. They're leading the SEC.
Yeah, yeah, they have 19.
I just don't think anybody's really getting that.
It's all right, Andy. Smoke usually trips people up. It's not usually on facts and figures, but here we are.
I'm getting better at this a little bit, Andy.
you're the king. Y'all have opened the palace now, right? I follow it on the internet.
Yeah.
You got to come check us out, man. Yeah, we opened the studio, the palace. I like the name that you call it. I like the palace. I might start calling it myself.
Well, Your sister podcast, Double Fries and Slaw, they sent me the t-shirt because Double Fries, no slaw. That's my order at any chicken finger place. So
it's got to be.
TJ got to pay me royalties because I came up with that name.
Of course you did. Listen, so everybody knows you are the brains of this entire operation.
All right. We can get him off the show. Andy, I'll get you some Stadium and Gale stuff. I'll hit you up in a link on Twitter, man. But thanks again.
Can you change it to Stadium and North-South just for me?
You know what? I wish we could. Homage to the past, back to my time at UF, too. Actually, they changed it right when I got there, but you know. But, man, Andy, you're the man. We appreciate you for coming on, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Awesome. All right, Andy, hold it down.
Always enjoy Andy coming on the show. Andy's a great friend of the show. So give him a follow on Twitter and read his stuff on The Athletic. It's really good, and I promise you'll enjoy it. For next segment of the show, we're going to get into our Vanderbilt breakdown. As always, this section of our show is sponsored by our friend Carlton Black with Envoy Mortgage. Licensed in Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, and Virginia. So if you're looking for any sort of home loan, conventional loan, FHA loan, VA loan, fixed rate loan, adjustable rate mortgage, jumbo loan, or whatever you may need, give him a call. Again, states are Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, and Virginia. We appreciate those of you that have reached out. We've already passed a number of leads his way. So thank you so much for reaching out to him. Give him a call at 404-769-5501, or you can email him at cblack@envoymortgage.com. All right, boys, Florida. 5-1 going against an 0-6 Vanderbilt team that just doesn't look very good. Florida beat them 56-0 last year. Over under, Florida beats them by more than 7 touchdowns this year. 8 touchdowns.
I'll say around the same score. I mean, they don't be able to stop us. We just got to, again, minimize big plays. Don't let them stick in the game and have any hope and throw, you know, some lucky pass down the field and let them score a touchdown. I just want to, you know, put our foot on their throat and you know, destroy them all day.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're bad. I mean, they're just a really bad team. Yeah. The most points that they've scored was last week against Kentucky. They scored 35, but they started off the season 12-7, 7-21, 17. So I don't know if we have to worry so much about big plays. They've let up 17, 41, 41, 54, 24, and 38 on the season. Silk, your thoughts?
I just want to see the backups. I want to see the young boys. I need Cal to go ahead and put up 70 by halftime or something crazy so I can see my young pups run around a little bit. But I want to see the youth. I want to see some Emery, some Anthony Richardson, more baby Hendo. Let him get some reps, all the reps he can. He can play all game. A lot more zip. I just want to see the young guys get a blowout. Let these recruits see that we're gonna blow teams out, and they'll get some playing time as young bucks, man. All this helps in recruiting, man. So let's get out there and take care of business, blow this team out, and let the young boys get some reps.
Yeah, just a couple guys. Their leading rusher on the year is Keon Henry Brooks. Has 375 yards, averaging about 4.4 yards per touch. Couple touchdowns on the year. He's probably their best running back. They play a couple. They divvy up responsibility in that regard pretty evenly outside after him with Marlo Wakefield and Griffin. But I really don't see how Vanderbilt scores. They look a bit demoralized. You know, Kentucky isn't the same Kentucky that they've been over the last few years. So even scoring 35 against them last week, I don't think that you can read into it much. Like you said, Silk, this is what I want to see. I want to see Florida get out early. I want to see them put points on the board pretty early so that they've got a nice, comfortable lead. And then I want to see them start to rotate in some of these young guys so that they're getting, you know, first team snaps against, you know, their first team defense. I would really love to see Henderson get some more opportunity. I'd love to see Zipperer get some more opportunity. Hell, maybe we'll get Rick Wells in there before the start of the second half too.
Wouldn't mind any of that. Also the offensive line, let those young boys get in. Defensive line, I just want to see reps. That's it. Then we all on the same page there. Remainder of the season, I think we're probably at the midway point. So, remainder of the season, what would you like to see? Or we want to talk about that on the Gator panel?
No, we can talk a little bit about it here. I mean, again, there's not much to talk about with Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's just a bad football team. They're going to probably go defeated all season. They're just not very good. Their quarterback, Ken Seals, has 1,291 yards passing, 65% completion rate, 8 touchdown passes, 8 interceptions. I'd love to see, you know, Marco Wilson get an interception. I think that that'd be good for his confidence. I'd love to see Kyer Elam, or I'd love to see some of the younger guys get some burn. I also want to see a bit more of your linebackers, your Derek Wingos. You know, Tyron Hopper played, I think, 11, 12 snaps. So I'd love to see a little bit more of him, you know, going into this game against Vanderbilt. But I don't know if there's much to talk about. We didn't get a Vanderbilt writer for a reason.
Yeah, it's Vandy.
Yeah.
Pretty much sums up
Could you imagine getting invited over to a show to talk about 0-16 as a writer? Like, bro, what are you calling me for?
It's Vandy. What tweet, Danimal?
Your one about Vanderbilt Hate Week? Yeah, how they're upstanding people.
Yeah, they're very fine people. You know,
on both sides.
Hey, listen, very, very fine people. You know, I got my hands, you know, moving in a direction like certain people when they say that about very fine people. But you know, they're nice people, man. We may need them later down the line. So I can't talk bad about them, Dan. I may need a job one day.
Lawyers and doctors are good people.
I hope we score enough points that Derrick Mason wants to fight again. That's what I hope happens.
No, what's so crazy about that video is, bro, I think didn't one of their players get cracked back or something? He get blindside blocked, so he was hurt. So yeah. The whole time they like arguing, they dude on the ground hurt. Like, get your ass from over here, bro. You're like, a dude hurt, and you over here trying to fight people, bro.
Imagine.
So beat them bad enough where Derrick Mason's like assistant, off the field assistant, helping us break down film. That's the type of beating I need.
So you brought up the question, you know, Florida has Vanderbilt in Nashville, a game that I should be at this weekend.
I want to hit the rooftops.
Specifically me, because I had tickets to a country music concert that evening. Anyway, got canceled. Anyway.
Yeah, I wasn't going to the concert, but I want to hit the rooftop.
Oh, I would have dragged you back to the concert. Man. Oh, man, you would have loved it.
I would have went. I probably would have went. I'm down for a free concert. You definitely was paying.
Oh, well, yeah, I had second row tickets and all.
My boy went back to the line for him.
You know who the most disappointed is?
Dan went to stuttering when you said he got to pay.
He got to pay, bro. I'm not going to buy the ticket.
I already bought the tickets, man. Come on. this bread loaf is deep, Ahmad.
Daniel.
So I want to give a shout out to our boy Tennessee Mike. I know that he's disappointed that we can't make it. Florida plays Vanderbilt in Nashville in 2 years. Hopefully COVID's gone by then. So Mike, we'll see you then, bud. But Florida's got Vanderbilt this week, Kentucky, Tennessee, LSU. You guys, do you see any trip ups in the schedule or anything that you are concerned about?
No, life is good.
Yeah.
Life is beautiful. I mean, if Kyrie Campbell had his stuff together, he didn't miss a game, we'd be undefeated right now. But I don't want to keep harping on that. But life is good, man. Let's keep doing what we got to do, get to Atlanta, and take care of business. I think we're going to beat Bama.
So, assuming that we go 4-0 in the next, you go 9-1, you know, obviously great spot, exactly where you want to be. But What do you want to see Florida improve on? I mean, you have now an opportunity where you're through the probably the toughest meet of your schedule. What do you want to see Florida get better at?
Defense. Just fine-tune the defense.
I want to get better at our linebacker play. We got to start to run a little bit better. I know we've been stout these last three games, but it'd be sometimes where I just feel like they get too many yards. So I know when I played in Tampa, one of our goals was try to keep them on averaging 3.2 yards a carry. So we can keep them under that. Keep them around about 2 yards, and we good.
What else do you want to see? Anything else? Are you guys pretty happy?
Safety play. I mean, it's the same old stuff on defense. We can keep harping on it, but
I don't want to harp on anything, right?
I'm just talking. I'm not saying you harping on it, but I'm just saying it's gonna feel like I'm harping on it if I get on the safeties again. You know how they go, man. My DMs will be full of players' parents if I get on the safeties too hard. So I don't want to. I don't want to go ham on the safeties, but I think we just need to play overall better defense. We need to get stops. My man Kyrie got beat as well on the deep pass. So we just got to play sound ball and keep the lid on things. Make people like me and Amar said earlier, just make teams earn it and we'll be fine.
I just want to see them continue to strive to get better, I think is the most important. I mean, I think that they realize they're through the toughest part of the schedule. You know, Vanderbilt, you know, they're going to beat them on athleticism alone. Obviously, they can scheme better and coach better and everything else. Probably same with Kentucky, same with LSU, and same with Tennessee. I mean, Tennessee's garbage. But what I want to see is I want to make sure that they don't get complacent. You have 4 weeks to be able to get ready and prepare for that Alabama game. Right. And, you know, Alabama is going to, you know, be a well-coached, very disciplined team. So I'd love to see them, you know, just continue to get sound, not get too cute, not to try anything too crazy, but just to really continue to get better. But I mean, boys, I'm excited about what we got planned for Atlanta, too. So.
Big plans in Atlanta. Yeah.
But before we get into the Brunt Insurance ad read, I do want to announce that we are going to have another Gator panel. It's going to record on Wednesday. We haven't decided if it's going to drop on Thursday or Friday yet, but it's going to be with myself and Silk, Dave Waters of Gator Breakdown, Stadium and Gale, and University of Florida alum Cornelius Ingram, and then with James and Allen, who host the Gator Nation podcast. So we think that it's a wide breadth of people. We're adding some new names and some new faces in there. So we're super excited. So again, look out for the Gator panel a little bit later this week. And shout out to Allen Horn.
I missed the last panel, and I wasn't going to miss this panel, man. I'm done with this building process. I'm back in the fold of getting it how I live, then. So I'm ready to get my takes off and hang out with Cornelius and the boys.
Very good, very good. Well, let's get a Brunt Insurance read, and let's talk a little bit of the national football scene.
Shout out to my man Greg at Brunt Insurance to Financial Services, man. Anything you need insured from the panhandle to the keys, my man Greg, my man, 3, 2, 1. Shout out to my man Greg at Brunt Insurance and Financial Services, man. Anything you need insured from the panhandle to the keys, my man Greg will take care of it. If it's auto, home, renter's insurance, life insurance, Greg is the best of the best when it comes to customer service. 954-589-2204. Big coverage, big policies. Greg, what it do?
All right, so national college football scene. I would be remiss if we didn't mention that LSU is under investigation. They are appointing a special counsel over issues of sexual abuse amongst their athletic program with some students on campus. Facts are still coming out. Some of this stuff is still reported. So we didn't want to dive too much into it, but we would be remiss if we didn't say that it's currently spooky. Happening at LSU. Yeah,
sad scene. It's looking very, real very spooky out there. I wouldn't wish that on another team, a worse team on my schedule.
Yeah.
So shout out to Coach O.
Very, very sad, very disappointing to others.
Do you think they take the national title?
That's interesting. Somebody tweeted that almost in jest earlier today, and then the more I thought about it, you have a lot of issues surrounding that national title beyond just this. You have the issue of the booster taking money from a children's cancer hospital and routing that through to recruits. You have a lot of issues that stem around that. I'm cautious until more details come out. But I do think that is certainly something that they could do. But I also know the NCAA and their ability to choose right and wrong and often end up on the wrong side of that too.
Do you think Coach O goes unscathed, or do you think he's fired? What do you think?
Again, with details pending, if this is anything that he knew about, you have to let him go. In this culture, in this environment, I mean, just with everything that happened, not just culture and environment involved, but just, you know, if you knew about anything, if you were complicit in any of that, you've got to go. You've absolutely got to go. I think that there's going to be some big issues that happen, whether there are sanctions or not. I think that there's – this is just, in my opinion, the beginning of a very, very deep issue that LSU finds itself in. And I didn't see the media have the same energy over Dan Mullen wearing a Darth Vader mask as they do about this.
Right. I think he ends up getting fired just because they're gonna need a breath of fresh air after all this goes down. So he may be there as far as I'll say like midway through the sanctions, they may get an interim coach or something like that, man. Who knows? But I don't think Coach O makes it. I think he gets fired.
Interesting. So we'll again be on the lookout for that. The college football scene is starting to unravel a little bit with COVID issues. Miami announced today that they had to move their schedule around over the next 3 weeks. You have 12 games, or I believe, got up to 15 games last week, get canceled. You have a number of games this week already canceled. How do you think the end of the season plays out?
It's going to be weird, Dan. We were just talking about that the other day, how many times they done pushed back the SEC championship. I don't think it's too many more pushbacks. I mean, this thing gonna be going past January a lot, and almost pushing to February. You know, we keep pushing games back, man, and you know, I'm just gonna interfere with other sports. So, I'm not sure how. I know one time they were saying they didn't like football running into the spring semester because of like classes and whatnot. It was just weird. So I don't know, man. You know, maybe they're gonna start playing games during the week if they have to cancel.
Yeah, I'm curious. Let's play unbiased member of the college football selection committee. All right, so Florida plays their slate of of 10 games, the SEC championship. Alabama the same. Maybe they only play 9 because they've had to move back some schedules. Clemson, they play 10. Notre Dame plays 10. Georgia maybe, or Ohio State maybe plays 7 or 8. Wisconsin kind of the same. And then all of a sudden you have this hodgepodge of people. Do you think that college football playoff voters would take like a 9-1 team over maybe like a 7-0, you know, Big Ten team? Or do you think, or what are your thoughts there?
I can just tell you right now, the media has an infatuation with Ohio State. So
absolutely,
yeah. Ohio State. If Ohio State run the table, they're gonna be in there. 7 games, 8 games, 9 games. Ohio State.
My hope for Ohio State, they just cancel the season or something. Yeah. I don't like 7 games. I don't think that's fair. I think the Big Ten 10 right. is weak as hell this year, and for them to get 7 games and get into the playoffs, it's just not the same route as everybody else, man. So. I'm hoping I'm not wishing COVID on nobody, but I wouldn't mind for the Big Ten to get their shit shut down.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind if there's some contact tracing issues and they had to set out a few. I know it's going to be a debate, and I wish I would have asked Andy that question, but I know that it's going to be a debate because you're going to have teams that don't play their full slate, whether it was 10 games or 8 games, that are going to be undefeated. And, you know, there's some people that have said, oh, this is the year that they should do an 18 playoff. And I don't see logistically how that's possible, but then what do you do if you have some undefeated teams? And then you have a team like Florida who, you know, let's
you
just start
an 18 playoffs and they all get sick or something. Like again, it's too much going on.
Stupid, yeah.
Just trying to get,
we're trying to figure out the games we got.
Start adding more games. We can barely get what we have. Right. Anything else? We talked about it with Andy right now. Kyle Trask is number one in voting for the Heisman Trophy with Mac Jones right behind him, followed by Justin Fields and followed by Trevor Lawrence. I mean, if you guys, we're betting people, do you put your money on Kyle Trask right now?
I told y'all 2 weeks ago to do it, man, when the odds was, a little worse. I got Kyle Trask winning it. And I said on Same Energy Sunday a few weeks ago, same thing Andy was saying, the storyline set up on 2-star recruit, and this kid's doing amazing things, man. These are the stories that sells a Heisman. I don't know why the media not getting on it, but the storyline sells itself. And I could tell Dan Mullen wants him to win it as well. So he's competitive. They're going to put up the numbers. Our offense is humming. And then I think Bama's going to be his stage. He's going to come in that game hungry. I'm glad he got that as a motivational point. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Him going into the Bama game. He's already got that look in his eye, bro. I think it's going down. So we'll see what's up.
I mean, I think of the big games in his career, right? The LSU game last year, even though they ended up losing. The Georgia game this year. I mean, he just seems to be dialed in for those big games. So I'm excited to see him there. Ahmad, I want to get your thoughts. Not sure if you're going to have any, but I'm going to throw it your way first. What word am I thinking of?
I don't know.
Hold on. Hey, Cam, pause it right there. What am I thinking of?
You're asking us like we know. What you think I'm thinking right now? Like,
yeah.
There's no doubt.
No doubt. It's fine. I'll
rework it. I told you my boy was dropping it low in a little bit.
All right. Three,
two. Man was depressed that he forgot his vocabulary.
All you had to do was play the drop it low, girl. Then knees would have been hurting the next day.
All right. I'm going to start with asking Ahmad. Cam. All right. 3, 2, 1. Ahmad, I'm going to ask you this question. Not sure if you have any thoughts. There's really no doubt that Dan Mullen's not like the media favorite by most of the members of the media. They don't love a lot of his antics, a lot of the things that he does. Do you think that their opinion of Dan Mullen is weighing on their, I guess, the way that they cover Kyle Trask covering Kyle Trask's season this year?
That could be possible, but I just feel like they've always been like that with Florida for some odd reason. And I don't know what it is, but they're so infatuated with Alabama. They're so infatuated with Clemson and Ohio State. And it's just like they want them to run college football so bad. But, you know, even going back to, like, you know, Rex days and whatnot, you know, and when you're probably with Spurrier. I mean, everybody hated Coach Spurrier back in the day, you know, because he was running the score up and whooping ass. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know, man. I think it goes from way back then.
To give him a reason to hate us, man. It's ruined the park.
But after a while, Dan, I mean, proof in the pudding. I mean, the numbers don't lie. At what point do you still be on some bullshit?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm curious because I don't know if the media narrative is because we are so tied into it that every day we expect to hear positive things and there's a lot of national media stories, or if they actually don't like Florida.
No, here's the thing. Like, it's just crazy that when we're watching the game on Saturday, they talk like, oh, he's entering the Heisman. Where have y'all been at all season?
Right.
Where were y'all at last season? He was putting up these numbers last season, and he's been hitting 5 touchdowns every game. Like, where y'all been at? So, to me, it's just like the national media is trying to make it seem like he's just started balling as they try to prep themselves to get on this take.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm curious to see how they cover it. I mean, you can't not. He's got the same numbers that Joe Burrow has. Was put up last season. You would have thought that he was God's greatest gift to college football last season, and he doesn't get to play the Northwestern State teams, right? He's playing 6 SEC teams. He's got 4 more. He's got the ability to put up even better numbers against some of those teams: Vanderbilt, Kentucky, LSU, and Tennessee, to be able to put up some really spectacular numbers. So I'm going to be curious to see and watching how the media handles that narrative. But Andy Staples said he's a member of the media and he notices it. So hopefully folks that usually don't like Florida, don't watch Florida, are used to Florida being a boring team, are tuning in, because, I mean, what you're seeing and what you're experiencing this season from Kyle Trask is a very, very, very rare thing to see. Also want to give a shout out. We forgot to do it a little bit earlier in the show, but want to give a shout out to Trevon Grimes, wide receiver, and I believe Sean Davis, who accepted invites today to the Reese's Senior Bowl. So shout out to both.
That's definitely a good look, man. Definitely a good look. Be the best talent in college football right there, all in one spot. So.
Absolutely. So big shout out to the two of them. Well, outside of that, boys. Oh, Jeremiah Moon as well. I'm sorry. He accepted his invite as well. Outside of that. So want to take us to our Manscaped ad read? And Ahmad, I think you got the word or the song of the week.
Absolutely. Shout out to Manscaped.com, the best of the best when it comes to man grooming. The Lawnmower 2.0 is waterproof, snack proof, not skimming your balls, and you're not electrocuting yourself in the shower. Be sure to visit Manscaped.com. Use SG coupon code SG for 20% off and free shipping at checkout. And you guys don't think y'all need ball deodorant because it's getting cool outside, but I got a trick for you, man. We was at the Kushaw's grand opening this weekend. Even though it's November and then we was in Orlando, when I got to moving and shaking and trying to get things done.
Nah, bro. It was humid outside, bro.
It was a little humid, right?
If you don't think that I could dance like that without ball deodorant, then you guys are way up.
Oh, yeah. Big chafing. With moves like that, you'd been big chafing.
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, Dan.
They came in clutch twice. They came in clutch twice. There and at SeaWorld.
Oh, I definitely had it cooking at SeaWorld.
SeaWorld?
My joggers.
Hey, y'all should have saw Silk out there with some pants on. He was like melting.
I had joggers. It was a sauna, man. But you know what? It was a sun in those britches, but I had the right pair of I had the right deodorant for the pair of balls, for sure, for sure.
Or you could have had on the Manscaped boxers. I mean, I love the material of them too, man.
Oh, so. My goodness. Do they sell the box? I thought it just came in all little special kits.
I don't know, man, but I need to talk to them about getting another pair too, man, because them feel real good.
I'll send them an email, Ahmad.
Yeah,
we appreciate. We've had a number of people say that they reached out, and as you know, we're almost to Christmas, so it's that time that you take care of yourself or your loved ones with some ball deodorant, some boxers, some ball spritzer, and of course the Lawnmower 3.0. And the
did you run the spritzer and the deodorant at the same time? Because I haven't done that. I've been going back and forth. I think
it's a new world. It's a new world out there.
Okay.
But it's more of a freshness thing than a practical thing.
We can talk about that. Put you on just now.
You walk around. You carry your spritzer in your man bag when you go places.
No, but that's a great idea.
Freshen up, bro.
I do though, bro. I put all that. I put my toothbrush and everything, and that's my little get together bag, man. When I go out of town.
Toothbrush beside your ball spray is sick.
Nah, bro. It's a little compartment on the side, bro. Open your bag and see, man.
Okay.
Open your bag and see.
Yeah, you gotta open your bag and see, dog.
I used to find the Manscaped bag. I got it, but I didn't see the little.
Yeah, you gotta check and see, man. You gotta open your bag, man.
Sure, for sure. Shout out to Manscaped.
If you don't have any idea of what we're talking about, go to manscaped.com, use promo code SG, 20% off free shipping, and let us know. We'll shout you out.
For sure, for sure. Ahmad, you got the song of the week, man.
Oh, I'm on the song of the week this week. Y'all want to hear it or I just want to tell y'all?
I won't need you to rap it or nothing.
I was going to say because, you know what I'm saying? Hey, but we're going to go with this, man. Song of the week, man. Mike Will made it. Nicki Minaj, Young Boy. What that speed about?
Very
good. I ain't even heard this song, Dan. I've been so busy with life. I don't know what song this is. So it's my first time hearing it, too.
I've been very busy. Well, so this is the first time hearing this song.
Dan, this ain't your speed, but I'm talking about you been busy. like if he wasn't busy, he ride down the road listening to it. Like, hey, you feel me? Like, I'm not gonna play with Dan, dog.
Oh, man. Today. All right, boys. Same time, same corner next week with a W.
Yes, sir.
Vibes, man, we hanging out.
All right, boys.
What you can't do. Supposed to be shining, but she noticed that my chain do. Late night sex, I won't see what that mouth do. Yeah, bounce that ass, do it how your mama taught you. Real made nigga, front of trenches, do no pimping. I got seven figures, bouncing in the car, it look like switches. Let's have a drink out after that, we can leave out. I lead a club, driving fast, baby, with that speed bout. If you keep it real, say your knees, I pay that cost. 10,000 for to go shopping, ain't nothing I'm worried about. If it's a problem, get it popping, blow the curb out. I spend a whole day with you laying in the loft. Not one, not two, girl, you. I wanna see you take it off. Yeah, I'm everything you hear about. Trying to see what your world about. Word of mouth. Can't keep buying all the bottles.
that you can't do. Supposed to be shining, but she noticed that my chain do. Late night sex, I won't see what that mouth do. Yeah, bounce that ass, do it how your mama talk to. Real made nigga, front of trenches, do no pimping. I got seven figures, bouncing in the car, it look like switches. Let's have a drink out after that, we can leave. I lead the club, driving fast, baby, with that speed. Hey, up.
Throw that bag, I'm a bad little bitch, nigga. Got every ex nigga mad and they big bitter. Diamonds on the chain, blinging off my tits, nigga. I hit this phone, he gon' curve her like a pitch, nigga. Worth the mean pussy good, so we been hooked. If he got seen out with me, it's a big look. Worth the pop, body smoking like a big blunt. Some big dick, only thing that a bitch want. Left the lot with a big body, thick thot. All my niggas in the spot, you could get got. This that 40 vaccine, you could get shot. Since you wanna be stunting like a big shot.
This that pretty little joint from the south side. Fuck a quarantine, all my niggas outside. If I'm sitting on your face, keep your mouth wide. Nigga go hard, but be gentle with my chow chow.
Buying all the bottles, what you can't do. Supposed to be shining, but she noticed that my chain do. Late night sex, I won't see what that mouth do. Yeah, bounce that ass, do it how your mama talk to. Real made nigga, front of trenches, do no pimping. I got seven figures, bouncing in the car, it look like switches. Let's have a drink out after that, we can leave. I lead the club, driving fast, baby, with that speed. She tell me face to face. I said it's metal that you're riding, please, chairs don't break. You wanna be my girl, be real, you get put in that place. I'm in here with my boy Mike Will. I meant to say that's who made it. Can't do swerving through in a brand new coupe with some fuzzy out of shoes. Real nigga Blues Clues. If you sleep on that money, then you lose. I don't snooze. You a fool, I'm the truth. Can't do buying all the bottles, what you can't do. Supposed to be shining, but she noticed that my chain do. Late night sex, I won't see what that mouth do. Yeah, bounce that ass, do it how your mama talk to. Real made nigga, front of trenches, do no pimping. I got seven figures, bouncing in the car, it look like switches. Let's have a drink out after that, we can leave out. I lead the club, driving fast, baby, with that speedboat.
About to hear, and all that important shit that you're about to hear over the next couple of decades, Mike motherfucking Will made.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.